Welcome back. In this lesson, we're building a vinyl heat switch-up balance formula for heavyweight sub-impact in Ableton Live 12, with proper jungle and old-school DNB energy. The whole idea here is not just to make a riser, we are making a pre-drop identity change. That means the transition should feel like it belongs in the track, like it's hinting at the next groove before the drop actually lands. In this style, risers are not just whooshes or generic build effects, they're arrangement glue. They help push tension, hide edits, and make the first kick and sub-hit feel bigger without you having to turn the bass up and ruin the mix. That's the key mindset. Contrast, not brute force. If the riser steals the low end, gets too glossy, or smears the center image, the drop loses authority. So we're going to build something that starts dusty, worn, and slightly unstable, then slowly heats up and tightens until it lands into a clean, heavy, sub-safe drop. Open Ableton Live 12 and create a dedicated track for this. Keep it separate from your drums and bass so you can automate it cleanly and compare versions easily. I'd call it something like Vinyl Heat Riser. We want headroom here, so don't let it slam the master. Aim for it to live comfortably below the mix, around minus 12 to minus 8 dB before the master bus. Now choose a source. The most authentic options for this style are a short vinyl crackle, a chopped break tail, a reversed restab, or a resampled fragment from your own track. If you want that really old-school jungle feel, a reversed break fragment often works better than pure noise because it already carries the rhythm and character of the genre. Drop that source into simpler. If you want a continuous swell, use classic mode. If you want more rhythmic steps or chopped movement, try slice mode. Start with a low pass on the source, somewhere around 500 Hz to 1.5 kHz, and keep the envelope fairly tight at first. The point is to make it feel like a worn sample being pulled forward, not a polished cinematic sweep. Next, we add heat. Put saturator after the source and start driving it gently. You're usually looking at around plus 2 to plus 8 dB of drive, with soft clip enabled. If the source is too dull, tilt the color slightly brighter. This is where the riser starts to feel like it's under pressure. That pressure is what makes the transition exciting in DNB. If you want more grime, add erosion after saturator. Use noise or sine mode depending on whether you want hiss or a metallic edge. Keep it subtle. We're not trying to destroy the sound. Just roughen it up enough that it feels like heat is building from inside the texture. That little bit of dirt goes a long way in jungle and darker rollers. Now for the core of the switch-up balance formula, filter automation. Put auto filter before saturator if you want the saturation to react more aggressively as the filter opens. Put it after if you want the tone shape to stay cleaner. Either way, automate the cutoff over 4 or 8 bars. Start low, around 200 to 400 Hz, then open gradually up into the 6 kHz to 12 kHz range by the end. You can use a smooth build or a more uneven curve, but for old-school vibes, a slightly lurchy, imperfect movement often feels more natural. It sounds less like a modern EDM riser, and more like something from a worn tape or vinyl-era pull-up. And here's a really important coach note. If the incoming drop has a busy break, keep the riser simpler and more textural. If the drop is sparse, you can afford a more animated transition. Always design the riser around what's coming next. The best transitions in jungle don't just rise in energy, they preview the identity of the next section. Now let's talk stereo. A common mistake is widening the riser too early. Don't do that. Keep the low mid body centered. Use utility and keep the width narrow or even mono for the first half of the build. Then only open it up later, once the sound is mostly high passed and the low end is already out of the picture. You can also use auto pan very lightly for movement, but keep it subtle. We want pressure, not seasick motion. The center needs to stay clear so your kick and sub can punch through on the drop. After that, add echo and reverb, but use them like air, not like wash. Echo should be a little rhythmic tail, not a huge smear. Keep the feedback modest, and high pass the tail so it doesn't cloud the low end. Reverb should also stay controlled. Shorter decay for darker roller energy, a bit longer for atmospheric jungle, but always with a strong low cut. And here's a pro move. Automate the reverb dry slash wet so it rises only in the final one or two bars, then cuts hard on the drop. That sudden removal of ambience makes the first kick and sub hit feel much more immediate. At this stage, if you want the riser to feel more alive, you can resample it to audio. This is where it gets really fun. Once it's printed, you can edit it like a DJ tool. Reverse the last half bar, cut micro slices, nudge one slice early, or create a tiny stutter just before the drop. That kind of micro-editing is huge in jungle, because small timing imperfections make the transition feel human and raw. Don't over-warp it into perfection. Let it breathe a bit. A really strong arrangement idea is to start with two bars of filtered vinyl heat texture, then open the filter and increase saturation over the next two bars, then bring in a chopped break tail or vocal shard in bar 5, and finally cut to near silence or a reverse hit right before the drop. If you do that well, the first sub note will land with much more authority because the ear has been led there through tension and contrast. Now let's lock in the balance. The riser should gain heat as it loses low-end weight. That's the formula. Use HQ8 if needed and high pass early around 150 to 300 Hz, then push that higher if the source is still too thick. If the saturation starts biting too hard around 2.5 kHz to 5 kHz, tame that too. You want the riser to feel intense, but not painful. Most of the time, if a riser feels weak in context, the issue is not lack of volume. It's frequency collision. This is why the final half bar matters so much. Sometimes you actually want to pull the riser down by 1 or 2 dB right before the drop. That little move can make the drop feel bigger because it creates more room for the sub and kick to arrive. In heavyweight DNB, less riser volume can mean more perceived impact. If you want to push this further, try a two-stage pull-up. Build a first riser that feels dusty and restrained, then trigger a second, shorter snap layer in the last bar with a more aggressive filter opening. That's a classic fake-out style move, and it works beautifully before a bass switch or double drop. Another strong variation is to duplicate the source and pitch one copy slightly up or down with very subtle automation. Keep the movement tiny so it feels unstable rather than melodic. You can also run a parallel grit lane. Keep one cleaner riser path and one heavily distorted path, then fade the dirty layer in only during the last one or two bars. That gives you a lot of control over how nasty the transition gets without ruining the whole build. And if you really want the drop to punch, try a pre-drop silence pocket. Even a tiny gap, just a few ticks, can make the first drum and sub hit feel massive. Let's go over the common mistakes so you can avoid them. Don't leave too much low end in the riser. Don't widen it too early. Don't make it too glossy or cinematic if you're aiming for old-school jungle energy. Don't drown it in reverb. And don't forget to design it around the incoming bass phrase. A riser is not a standalone effect. It's part of the arrangement conversation. So here's the challenge. Build three versions of the same switch-up riser for the same drop. One should be dusty and restrained, using a break fragment or vinyl texture. One should be more aggressive and darker, with extra harmonic drive and mid-range motion. And one should be a short fake-out snap with a tiny gap before the drop. Keep the low end protected in all three. Give each one at least one automation move for tone or space. Then test them before the same drop and listen for which one gives the first kick and sub hit the most authority. If you want the short version of the whole lesson, it's this. Start dirty and narrow, open the spectrum gradually, keep the low end out of the riser, add controlled saturation and subtle movement, then clear space right before the drop. That's the vinyl heat switch up balance formula. Use it right, and your transitions will feel worn, alive, and pressure filled, with that heavyweight vinyl burnt pull-up energy that makes the drop hit much harder.